Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Medical Monday, the Vox Pop. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us today on Medical Monday, you asked for him, to answer your questions on orthopedic surgery, including minimally invasive spine surgery, a relatively new concept, is Dr. Jean Chen of Mohawk Valley Orthopedics in Johnstown, New York, and Nathan Litauer Hospital, I should say, because transparency and disclosure are important. He's my surgeon, and I'm happy with him. So, Dr. Chen joined the Litauer team in 2011. A graduate of Weill Cornell University Medical College in New York, he has completed his residency in orthopedic surgery at Wake Forest University Baptist Medical Center in North Carolina and a fellowship in spine surgery at University of California, San Francisco. This year, Dr. Chen presented at a conference in Brazil on his experience as an orthopedic surgeon in New York's Hudson Valley. This year, he completed 573 surgeries at Litauer, most of them using incision of 5 centimeters. That's very small. Dr. Chen, my friend, welcome to Vox Pop.
Thank you, Alan.
It's always great to have you here. Everybody who wants to know about this, this is the time to call us. 1-800-348-2551. Every phone guaranteed is going to be ringing off the hook in a second now. You can also you can call us at 1-800-348-2551. You can comment on the Vox Pop page of our website, WAMC.org. You can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop or check in on Facebook at facebook.com/WAMC radio. But if I were doing it, I would just do it online at voxpop at WAMC.org. Okay, so, Doctor, we got two calls. I'm waiting till they all light up, but what is minimally invasive spine surgery? As if I didn't know. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Minimally invasive spine surgery is a technology that's developed since the 1980s. It is the type of spine surgery that uses advanced technology and highly specialized tools and provide patient with quicker recovery and less post-operative pain and complication and less soft tissue damage. There is a misconcept about minimally invasive surgery is we do surgery minimal. Actually, the goal of the spine surgery is the same as traditional open surgery, but this is just being done in a highly advanced and way to minimize the collateral tissue damage.
Explain that for me, Jean, if you would.
In order to get access to a spine, the anatomy that traditional open surgery, we have to, similar to a scorched earth campaign, we have to dissect, strip lots of soft tissue, including the muscles around the spine, to get to the target. But minimally invasive surgery really wants to minimize any soft tissue damage, but achieve the same surgery, a same goal.
So you sort of have this robotic sort of arm that goes into the body through this very small 5 centimeter thing, and you're playing it much as if you would Nintendo looking at a big screen up there. Is that basically it?
That is part of the full spectrum of minimally invasive spine surgery. We use different tools, including endoscopic surgery, robotic surgery, the incision can be from 8 millimeters to an inch. It rarely can go more than 2 inches.
Wow. And your hospital has invested a lot of money in some very specialized equipment for you, haven't they?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we use microscopes, endoscope, and the equipment use really cutting edge. I really appreciate the hospital getting me the equipment. And recently, on July 17th, which is about 6 weeks ago, we performed the first robotic spine surgery in the Northeast.
Well, what was it?
This is a new technology that the robot is a passive robot that's the size of a soda can. Actually, to be precise, it's the size of a Red Bull energy drink that can sit on top of the patient and with navigation and help me to target specific pathology, including instrumentation or get to the target very precisely.
Okay, very quickly, because the lines are really loaded now, I wanted to ask you, is it when you do these surgeries, what's the healing time? Is it the same as the old way?
Much quicker.
Give me a spatial example. Is it like 6 months and 2 months or something like that?
For different surgery, it's different. But yeah, for a patient with a disc herniation, we normally perform the surgery in the hospital, but they go home the same day.
Same day.
And majority of the patient will be able to go back to work. If the surgery was performed on Friday, they can go back to their desk job on Monday. Yeah. Start driving on Monday.
Right. Yeah. Now, the guys who are doing it, I don't want to start trouble, but the guys who are doing it the old way, if all of this is so remarkable, doesn't it take them a long time, or is it possible for them to retrain to do this?
Alan, definitely possible. I learned a lot from traditional spine surgeries, and they really contributed to the advancement of this field. But minimally invasive is a newer technology that it does take a steeper learning curve to get adapt to it.
Does age have anything to do with it? Put another way, if you didn't play Nintendo as a kid, can you do this later on in life?
You can still do it.
We'll go to the phones now. Let's go to Jim in Western Massachusetts. Okay, Jim, ask your question.
Well, how do you find somebody who has climbed the steep learning curve?
Jim, that's a good question. Over the next 10 years, the government, Medicare, and the insurance company trying to put on more patient outcome data, and that will be easily accessible to patients. But before that data is available, a couple of advice. When you see a spine specialist, you can always ask for the name and number of a couple patients that had similar surgery, and talk to them.
They have to give permission, of course, to you, because otherwise you have a HIPAA violation.
That's exactly right. And also other than talking to the patient and looking at the data, and another thing is you can ask for a second opinion.
Right.
Really, before you do any elective surgery, I talk to all my patients. For your benefit, you want to have a second opinion. Another way I want to say is there is a society that in the U.S. that I'm a member of called the Society of Minimally Invasive Spine Surgery.
Oh, excellent.
SMISS. And we have a website, smiss.org. And you can type in the location, and you can find that the members belong to that society.
Well, let me just jump on this, Jim. What percentage of the surgeries that are done minimally invasive, do we have studies that tell us what percentage actually are successful?
Alan, that's a great question. Because of minimally invasive spine surgery, it's a newer technology. We do not have the long-term data about patient outcome and compared to the traditional open surgery, and we are working on it. Actually, I'm part of the SMIS, the Society for Minimally Invasive Spine Surgery, study a patient registry, which we selected 25 centers that every center provide patient, and we follow their outcome. So far, from my personal experience, it's really successful spine surgery, and especially in reducing recovery time, reducing post-op pain, reducing post-operative infection, and complications.
And in the infection rate that you've experienced?
Knock on wood, for the last 2 years, we have performed over 1,300 spine surgeries minimally invasively, and our infections remains at zero.
Wow. Hey, Jim, thanks for the great call.
Great.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye. 1-800-348-2551. We're going to take a very short break. Seconds. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Middletown Medical, with walk-in urgent care centers in Middletown and Ellenville for the treatment of injuries and illness. Minimal wait times, evening and weekend hours. MiddletownMedical.com for insurance providers. Ichiban Japanese and Chinese Restaurant, Central Avenue, Albany. Japanese, Chinese, and sushi bar. Dinner entrees served with soup, salad, and shrimp appetizer. Dine in, take out, delivery, 518-432-0358. Express Pediatrics, Highland. Walk-in urgent care for children. Open Monday through Friday from 5 p.m. to midnight. Weekends, noon to midnight. This fall, offering flu shots. ExpressPediatrics.com. And Williams College Museum of Art, offering art and aperitif al fresco, featuring a behind-the-scenes look at prints in the museum's collection, August 29th at 4 and 6 p.m., wcma.williams.edu.
And we are back with Dr. Jean Shen. I just want to tell you all that you can ask any question about back surgery or spine surgery here today. It doesn't have to be about minimally invasive, but that's what we're doing here. We're here to serve. Let's go to Susan in my hometown, Great Barrington. Okay, Susan, what's up?
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I can't believe this is the first time I've called you in 15 years.
Fantastic. Be sure to say hello on the street. Go ahead.
I will. So my question is, I've just been diagnosed through an MRI with some osteophytes, which are, you know, called bone spurs. And the one that seems to be giving me trouble is located in the C6 to 7 area on the cervical spine, or near to the cervical spine, and is pressing on a nerve. So the next step is where I'm at, and my primary care physician has suggested that I see a neurosurgeon to discuss next steps. And I was just interested in hearing about this because I know it's a common issue for people, and I wanted to know where you think surgery comes into the mix and what are good next steps to take.
Good afternoon, Susan. What is your symptoms?
Oh, yeah, good question. So very intensive pain in the shoulder region that tracks down through my left arm and into my pointer finger, primarily causing numbness and tingling. So difficulty with sleep and a lot of discomfort.
Well, you just put in a very typical classic symptom of a cervical radiculopathy, which is the nerve come out of the cervical spine that being pinched either by a impinged by either a disc herniation or osteophyte, and in other words, it's bone spur.
Right.
The treatment I want to tell you, there are different treatments. You can start with a epidural steroid injection, just specifically target that area with some medication and give you significant pain relief.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it will last you a long time. And we also let patient try physical therapy for this condition. If it comes to surgery, for this kind of condition, depending on where the bone spur is located, we have different ways of targeting it. One common surgery would be a endoscopic foraminotomy. Foraminotomy means we go there with an endoscope, very small incision, and to shave off the bone spurs, make more room for the nerve, so it's not
mm-hmm.
being pinched.
Mm-hmm. And do people have? Do you have a sense of timeline? How long you would try PT and possibly injections before you would revert to saying, you know, we need surgery?
Normally, we let patient try at least 6 weeks of physical therapy,
uh-huh.
and they also do home exercise.
Yeah.
And for epidural steroid injection, it really depends.
Yeah.
Normally, if it does not work, it doesn't make sense to keep trying it. So you will be able to tell after the first injection whether it's going to work for you or not.
I guess the last point that I want to ask about, and hopefully this helps other people too, is how does physical therapy help? Are you physically moving things away? Are you reducing the size of the bone spur? Are you changing the way you move your body? You know?
That's a good question, Susan. You definitely did your research. The physical therapy does not change the size of the bone spur. This goes back to how the bone spur is generated. The bone spur generated is because of the disc degeneration, and there is micro motion between the vertebra, and your body reacting to this motion by generating bone, trying to hold things together. Mm-hmm. And these bones, unfortunately, impinging a nerve. So physical therapy, one way is to do a traction, so increase your space for the nerve. Another way is to strengthen the muscle around your spine, so your spine stable, so your body does not generate more bone spurs.
You used to say, that you used the word traction, and traction meant a long time in bed. Does it still mean that?
No. The physical therapy, they can do the exercise, and there is some machines that can do gentle traction, but nothing to the extreme.
Like those of us who have bought those machines that go backwards? In other words, which I have used. I like it. It feels good, but I haven't used it since my operation. But, what about those?
It works in sometimes and to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Susan, thank you.
Thank you. I'm really grateful that you got my call. Thanks, and have a wonderful day. And I'm outside the library in Great Barrington, Alan, so I'll tell everybody you say hi.
I do. Thanks. Bye.
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 Okay, let's go to Elizabeth in Vermont. Elizabeth.
Hi there. Hi. I have a question that I hope Dr. Chen can help with. I had a hip replacement 3 years ago, and it went very well, total hip replacement. But a year ago, I fell on it, and I've had 4 displacements since then. So my orthopedist wants to replace the prosthesis, and put in something more aggressive, although he tells me that it's the ligaments that are the problem. So he doesn't seem to go there with the idea of ligament repair, but another doctor has told me ligament repair is possible. But where can I go to get a consult on this? What kind of doctor do I look for?
The doctor you look for would be orthopedic surgeon that did a fellowship in joint arthroplasty, in other words, total joint replacement.
Could you go through that one more time?
Yeah, I need that.
It's an orthopedic surgeon who has done a fellowship in total joint replacement. And there are many of such specialists in the orthopedic field. I would recommend you see at least really different doctors and get different opinion on that, because it is a challenging problem for total hip replacement.
Do you know anybody in Vermont who does this work? No.
Not on top of my head. Okay. I would a good place to start with would be University of Vermont.
Elizabeth?
Yeah, I'm in very southern Vermont, so Massachusetts,
you can come to Albany or
Dartmouth, Albany, yeah. Those are convenient. But my sense from my orthopedist is, and nothing negative about him, it just seems that replacing hips with prosthesis is his sole focus. And that's why I'm looking for input from someone that thinks outside of that box, if you know what I mean.
I agree. You really want to get a different opinion for a challenging problem. But Elizabeth, I'm not the best person to answer that question. But I really share your frustration. But good luck with the with your revision.
Elizabeth, thank you for the
call.
Thank
you very much. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Okay, that telephone number is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Chances of getting in now, pretty good. Let's go to Sharon in Albany. Okay, Sharon.
Hi. I have a question about spinal stenosis and your surgery, doctor. Is that something that you want to wait until you have nerve damage and numbness before you address it because it's so dangerous to work on your spine? Or do you want to try and get the courage up to do it, to go through the surgery so you can have a decent life?
Sharon, good afternoon. First of all, spinal stenosis is one of the most common problems we as spine surgeons to treat on a daily basis.
What is it?
As the disc degeneration progress, either in cervical spine or the lumbar spine, the bone spurs or the...
I actually interrupt for 1 second? I'm sorry. Can I put you on speakerphone? Is that okay?
No, good.
Oh, you can't do that. Okay, sorry.
No, okay, go ahead.
So as the disc degeneration progress, the osteophyte, the bone spurs, or the ligament that getting amplified, and they are in the spinal canal, all in the foramen where the nerves come out, and they start impinging on the neurological structures. That's a big umbrella of different conditions. Spinal stenosis can be caused by disc protrusion, osteophyte, or ligamentum hypertrophy. It is really very common.
Okay, so the question is what, Sharon? I'm sorry.
It's okay. Basically, do you wait till you experience nerve damage before you actually get your surgery,
Short answer is for the cervical spinal stenosis, I would recommend to wait shorter.
Cervical is up top?
Yeah.
Okay.
On your neck. The nerves and the spinal cord there are much more fragile and to compression, for long-term compression. As to the lumbar spine, there is a randomized trial that follow patient for up to 5 years now, over 500 patients with lumbar spinal stenosis, which is a back. Nobody get paralyzed. Nobody developed cauda equina syndrome, which is a really bad complication of lumbar spinal stenosis, and nobody become wheelchair bound. So the short answer is, it depends on the location, and it really depends on how you feel it affect your quality of life.
But following up on Sharon's very good question is this: how do you know if you're not feeling pain? How do you know that you need it?
Thank you.
But in general, in addition to pain, you also want to look at the ability you can do your normal activities. A typical symptom of a lumbar spinal stenosis is people, the way they can walk a distance without stopping to stretch is getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah.
We call it a claudication. And in addition to pain, but in general, if you don't have much pain, you might want to wait.
Sure.
Okay.
Sharon? Okay.
Yes. What about your neck? I'm a hairstylist, and it just seems to be, my neck just seems to be getting worse and worse.
What are your symptoms, Sharon?
Pain and tingling down my arm, numbness in my hand, like I end up dropping my implements on occasion, not all the time. I'm figuring that it's a very slow process that develops. I don't know, though.
Yes. How long has this been going on?
Probably 2 years.
Sharon, I would recommend you to see your doctor, get referred to a spine specialist, get a MRI done, really look in detail about your cervical spine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I would I would recommend you raise the chair of the person you're working on. I'm just teasing.
Right.
Okay. Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you, Alan. Bye-bye.
Let's go to David in Poughkeepsie. David in Poughkeepsie, you're on.
Yes. Yes, hi, doctor. I'd like for you to help me with the situation I'm having with my left shoulder. I was diagnosed with a mild left shoulder frozen. I'm currently having PT, physiotherapy. I'm wondering, as far as, like, how long do I need to go and follow through on physiotherapy? And if that's not working, when do I start thinking about surgery?
David, we did I did training in sports medicine, but again, I did not do a fellowship in that. I'm not the expert to answer your answer the question. But my advice is, if you have mild frozen shoulder, I would hold off on surgery. And another thing, and continue your exercise and PT, and also including the home exercise. Another way I would say is you might want to consider intra-articular shoulder injection to so work together with physical therapy.
So yes, because I've known people who had it, and they did get the injection, and the injection seemed to work. I'm less sanguine about the back injections than I am about the shoulder, because I've heard of a lot of people who had a lot of success with the shoulder. But is that a back operation or is that a shoulder operation?
That is a procedure, not even operation, Alan.
No, I mean the problem itself. In other words, is a frozen shoulder, is that come off the spinal column, or is it just up there as a shoulder?
Just up to the shoulder.
I got it.
Yeah.
Okay, David, is that okay?
Yes, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Tom in Albany. Okay, here we go. Tom, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Hello, doctor. I'm hoping you guys can help me out a little bit. I have a herniated disc in L5. Okay, I believe it's L5 something 1.
L5S1.
S1.
And that's Alan, the political scientist, answering your question. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Alan. In any case, I've had the MRIs, and I've seen two orthopedic doctors. At first, we tried to handle it through physical therapy, and I've been to physical therapy twice and done the exercises at home. I'm in a great deal of pain, and they said I am a candidate for surgery. But it wasn't the minimal invasive surgery. This would have been a 6-week recovery period and at least one night in the hospital. I had to not take the surgery because at the same time I've developed what they call spasticity throughout my entire body. I have it in my arms, I have it in my legs, my back, the whole bit. I don't want to undergo surgery while I have the spasticity. I was wondering if the doctor could address that for me at all.
Yes, Tom, that is a bread and butter spine surgery that we can address even with minimally invasive surgery. I usually use endoscope, small incision, and outpatient surgery. And it is very successful procedure. The incision is less than 1 centimeter. To address a disc herniation. Yeah.
Now, do your patients, have you had experience with patients that have this spasticity that I have? They've got me on a number of things just trying to loosen up my muscles. And some days they bind up completely on me. Are you familiar with that particular thing?
Yes, I have seen patients with similar symptoms, either spasticity of the back or down the leg or foot, yeah.
Can you give me the information about a place to get minimally invasive surgery here in Albany?
Well, let me put it this way. Let me jump in and say I had it done by Dr. Shen in Gloversville, New York, which is about a half an hour outside of Albany. There aren't that many minimally invasive surgeons around, are there, doctor?
the society for a society for minimally invasive spine surgery, the New York State, we have about 10 members. You can look it up on the web page, and there are a few of my colleagues that work in the Albany area that you can go to. They can be a neurosurgeon or a orthopedic spine surgeon, like the Albany Medical Center or St. Peter's. And I work, they are my colleagues, and I work well with them. We share patients, and they really great surgeons.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I've been dealing with this for almost 2 years, and I'm ready to get it done with, you know?
Good luck to you, Tom. I know exactly what you feel like. Thanks again.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Okay, all the phones are ringing except for one. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Support comes from Medical Associates of the Hudson Valley, Kingston. Physicians providing health care in primary care, rheumatology, geriatrics, and more. In office and hospital care, 845-338-7140. Spencertown Academy Arts Center Festival of Books in Spencertown, New York. Author readings, 10,000 used books for sale, and children's programs. Labor Day weekend, SpencertownAcademy.org. Storm King Art Center, a 500-acre sculpture park in Orange County, New York, offering Saturday morning yoga every Saturday and programs for children and adults, Sundays at 1 p.m. Open Labor Day Monday, stormking.org. And Alfondre Architecture, specializing in green building design and construction, creating spaces and places of lasting beauty, alfondre.com.
Okay, we're back with Dr. Jean Shen of Nathan Litauer Hospital in Gloversville. I have to tell you all that it's a pleasure to have him here. He's a busy guy, and as you can hear, he knows his stuff. He also operated on me. I say that just because I think it's important everybody knows that they can evaluate the questions I ask him based on that experience. Okay, so we've got Patty in Woodstock up next. Okay, Patty, you're up.
Oh, hello?
Hello, Patty, you're up.
Oh, okay, hi. I'm calling to ask questions in regard to a friend of mine who had a severe car accident about 3 years ago that crushed her knee in three parts and damaged ligaments and crushed her ankle, so her ankle is absolutely unfunctional and can't be repaired. And I don't understand why, with all this amazing stuff you hear about with surgery, with sports therapy, whatever, why some kind of prosthetic ankle, knee, and ligaments work can't be done for her, because she is in severe pain, and it's been 3 years, and nothing's really been done to help her. Do you know of any kind of...
Did she have surgery?
She didn't. They didn't do it. They said that they couldn't repair the kneecap. I don't understand why they don't just replace it. Or same with the ankle. They said it's crushed beyond repair, so can't they replace ankle? Aren't there prosthetics? Do you know of anything that she can do?
How old is your friend?
She's about 47. She's a lupus, systemic lupus all her life, and she has a lot of issues with her lupus that have just aggravated the problem.
Patty, it is definitely a challenging orthopedic problem. And from my training in that field, once again, I'm really not an expert in it, but from my training, it is a tough problem. For the ankle replacement, it is a newer technology that's still not very mature, and your friend is very young, but there is a multi-ligament reconstruction to stabilize joint that's done by specialized orthopedic surgeons that did a sports medicine training. And I recommend you to get expert advice from the sports medicine specialist.
Is one of your partners a sports medicine guy?
Yes. He did training actually in one of the best sports medicine fellowship in the country.
Who is that?
My partner that my practice, I work at Mohawk Valley Orthopedics. My colleague, Dr. Ortiz, he actually did the best sports medicine fellowship in the country. He used to work with Dodgers and the Lakers that during his fellowship.
And what's the number? Okay. What's the number there?
Our office number is 518-842-2663.
And it's Dr. Ortiz, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
He's a wonderful doctor.
2663, did you say?
Yeah.
Dr. O'Keefe. Mohawk.
No. Ortiz. O-R-T-I-Z.
Oh, thank you. And that was Mohawk what?
Valley Orthopedics.
That's right, Alan. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Patty. All right, let's go to Chris in Albany. Chris, you're on.
Okay, thank you, Alan.
Sure.
Good afternoon, Alan and Dr. Chen. I'm a 57-year-old male. I've had discogenic pain in L2, 3, and 4 for 18 years. I've dealt with horrendous pain and been through the pain clinics, been looked at with a surgeon who, at the time, almost 16 years ago, proposed a 14-hour operation, and I passed on it. I have an orthopedist that I trust dearly, and recently, as late as January, it's developed where I've gotten spinal stenosis, which began with a numbness and tingling in my feet and spread to my legs. Now the surgeon on this orthopedic team is suggesting, and he says, I'll know when, to have titanium cages put in L2, 3, 4, and 5. The operation is going now from 14 hours to 3 hours with the probability that in 5 years or more, they may have to put cages above and below that area in my vertebrae, and it scares the hell out of me.
Okay, we're going to start, Chris, if we can, by having Dr. Shen tell us about the cages.
Thank you.
What you are describing is a surgery. It's called interbody fusion surgery. It involves taking the disc between the vertebra, replaced with we call it a cage that the bone can weld the two vertebra together. From what you described, it is multi-level surgery and it is quite extensive. Will that address your problem? It probably will, but what your concern is really valid about extensive surgery like that. I really, if I were you, and my recommendation is look into just a simple decompression surgery without fusion. To address the problem and take away your radiculopathy, which is what you just described, numbness, tingling pain down the leg or to the foot. And many times, lumbar spinal stenosis can be addressed with a minimally invasive decompression surgery without fusion.
Now, can you put the cage in with minimally invasive surgery?
Yes, we can. I do fusion surgeries for patients with instability, with severe stenosis that after decompression it become unstable, or for patient with after trauma with instability, that can be done minimally invasively.
So if you take out the disc and you put in a cage. Then does that destabilize discs up the line?
Alan, that's a good question. What he's trying to refer to, we call it adjacent segment disc degeneration. And Chris, you also mentioned in your phone call that after a spinal fusion, the disc above or below your fusion can see more stress, and over time it can speed up its degeneration. The official number that from many years of study is approximately a quarter of the patient who had a spinal fusion will have the disc above or below addressed in 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, it almost, you know, as I said, I trust this orthopedic team, and, you know, I'm just curious, after hearing you on the show, if whether or not you had a different take on it. I understand you haven't seen the MRI, you haven't seen my records, and, you know, that type of thing. But when one is faced with that kind of decision, you know, you're almost wondering if the devil you're dancing with is better than the devil you may dance with down the road. More or less, my orthopedist has suggested that, you know, I live with it, and that's what I've been doing right along, and I've learned to live with pain, and I do the stretches, and I attend yoga, and I walk, but it's still constant. You know, it's still a difficult burden to deal with. Do you have, in that decompressive surgery, a minimally invasive procedure to do that?
Yes, the short answer. But once again, Chris, without seeing your MRI, but in general, this is one of the most common problems I address on a daily basis. We do it exclusively, minimally invasively. As a matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, I just performed an endoscopic cervical laminectomy bilateral with a small incision, and that is the first such case in the country.
Really? Wow. Listen, Chris, we got to let you go. A lot of people behind
you.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Wow, that is impressive. Let's go to Michael in Shokan. Okay, Michael.
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah, I fell on a hike 2.5 years ago, and gradually I started getting these symptoms where I felt numbness and down my left side, extending down to my foot. That was kind of a burning numbness. And really, I at night I would have to sleep on my back and put ice packs all up and down my leg and underneath the lower part of my back. I've had 2 MRIs. A spinal doctor identified that I had an exposed nerve in the L4 region. I've had pain management shots, a shot, and PT. And the pain management relieved it somewhat because I was, at a certain point, I was having trouble walking. Now, my question is really, especially after hearing the last caller, is do you recommend surgery, or should I just live with this? Or is surgery, microsurgery, going to relieve this, especially after the time that's elapsed? excuse my voice. Is this something that can be remediated?
The short answer is, Michael, definitely yes. What you just described is a condition that it is the most times a trauma like a fall or motor vehicle accident can trigger or start the degeneration process, and usually start with a disc protrusion or herniation, over time replaced by stenosis and bone spurs. And these conditions can all be addressed with a minimally invasive spine surgery.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael. Okay. 1-800-348-2551, and we go to Lisa in Lake George. Lisa.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm calling about my fiance, who has been diagnosed with 4 herniated discs in his lower back. And he's in screaming pain. He's had 1 injection, and he started physical therapy, and he doesn't think that's helping. And I'm just wondering if he's doomed for a lifetime of agony if surgery is inevitable, or if there's any way he can squeak out of this and become, you know, a healthy man again.
Lisa, how old is your fiancé?
51 years old.
Without looking at the MRI and seeing him, first of all, 4 herniated discs sounds very scary, but you really have to do a thorough workup to really pinpoint which one it is really causing the problem. And The answer to your last question is yes, there are treatment, and including surgical, that can address the problem with a minimally invasive in a minimally invasive way. And I do not think he's doomed.
You don't. Okay. Okay. He also, to add to that, when he goes to therapy, the first session he had, the therapist told him that his pelvis was 3 inches off, and he adjusted it. And then when he went back again, it was 1.5 inches off. So I don't know how that plays into
what was the specialty of the person he went to?
Well, this was a physical therapist.
Physical therapist, yeah.
That realized this.
What you're mentioning is the posture or because pelvis is connected to the spine through the sacrum, and it does affect the mechanics of spine, it is a very complex field to figure out. The whole process, but what I can only say is the pelvis definitely does affect the spine, but again,
okay,
we have to pinpoint where the problem is. You can address the problem.
Okay, Lisa,
okay.
We got to let you go. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're running out of time here, so now we're going to go to Jim in Boston Lake. Jim, you're on. Make it fast.
Okay, I'll make it fast. I'll change my question slightly since you answered some of them. I'm 70, and I have been diagnosed with arthritis of my left hip, plus a few years before that, stenosis, compressed disc, and arthritis of the lower back. My son, who works in China, who's 27, was just recently diagnosed with compressed discs. And I'm wondering, is it hereditary?
In a way, yes.
Because the doctor there said it's probably because he's tall.
I don't know. I had it, and I'm short.
It has genetic component in it. We do not know the whole picture or full clear picture, but it is the one of the hottest research area in spine to pinpoint which genes or DNA is responsible for the degeneration.
Interesting.
Okay. And could my arthritis of the hip be related to the arthritis of my back? Is it all one thing, or... It started to bother me this winter because I skied a lot. And I'm just wondering if the two are connected.
In a way, they are. But from the knowledge we know so far, these are two separate issues that addressed by different specialties.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, Jim, thank you for calling. Great of you. Okay, I'm so sorry, everybody. I dare not take another call because we've run out of time. I apologize to Grace in Vermont and to Mame and Slingerlands, who both are up on the board, but maybe next time. And I sure hope that Dr. Shen will consent to come back and talk to us again. So anyway, that's it for today. Somewhere here is the piece of paper which I should have that should say what happened and why we are not here. But in any case, I don't. So I'm going to thank everybody, Kimba and Colleen and Dr. Shen. Dr. Shen, would you just give your information where people can get a hold of you?
I practice at the Mohawk Valley Orthopedics in Nisla Tour Hospital. The office number is 518-842-2663.
Say it again, 518-842-2663. So you have the music. I apologize for this very tough exit from the program, but it's only because, as usual, I'm unprepared. And we'll see you all on the next Vox Pop. Next week, I don't think, because of Labor Day, we'll have a Medical Monday, but we'll be back soon. Don't worry.